So we have a panel tonight of representatives from University of Kentucky, Transylvania University, and Georgetown College. And so they're going to be sharing with us, and I'll introduce them in a moment. And if I'm in the way, I'm probably just going to be in the way. Did you notice that the UK students are back? Who got caught on the way to work this morning with the rain and the students? As I was driving up 75 to Georgetown College, the disc jockey on the radio was talking about the mess of the morning commute, and in that he blamed the rain, and sorry about this, but he blamed the UK students are back. Okay. He didn't blame them, but he just kind of threw that in there. But we're very thankful to be so closely proximate to UK and to Transylvania, and then, of course, there's a strong Georgetown connection with many of in our congregation. And I was at the University of Kentucky for 12 years as a Baptist campus minister, and so I appreciate all that goes on there and the work that goes on there and the students that are just incredible. So we're very gifted and very blessed to be in this area with these colleges and universities around us. And so tonight we're going to talk about college students for a minute. And what does that look like? And so I thought before we got started, if it's okay, Beloit College does a mindset list every year of entering freshmen. And it's kind of, here's what the entering freshmen they're looking forward to. Here's kind of who they are. And so there's a few statements that I'd like to read to you that tells you a little bit of some generalization that characterize college students as we reflect on their worldview. But the college student today, there has always been an internet ramp onto the informational highway. They've never not known the internet. States and Velcro parents have always been requiring them to wear bike helmets. And Dave Shaw says, amen. The only significant labor disputes in their lifetimes have been in major league sports. College students today, they swipe cards. They don't swipe merchandise. They've always had the swipe. A dial-up phone? They've never known a dial-up phone. That's hard to believe in. Some of us are feeling pretty old pretty fast, aren't we? American tax forms have always been available in Spanish. Music has always been available via free downloads. PC has come to mean personal computer, not political correctness. Few in the class know how to write in cursive, for all you teachers out there. Email is just too slow, and they seldom use snail mail. Bob, you'll like this. Caramel macchiato and Venti half cafe vanilla latte has always been a street corner lingo for them. The college students today have never had to shake down an oral thermometer. And this is really going to hurt us all. The first home computer they probably touched was an Apple II or a Mac II. They are now in a museum. So let's get on to our panel tonight. Our panel tonight will include Dr. Felito Alarondo, who's the Associate Director of the University of Kentucky's Counseling Center. Thank you for being with us. Appreciate that. Dr. Michael Covert is next to him, Associate Dean of Students at Transylvania University. And then Ms. Jessie Hines Farley, the Area Coordinator for Leadership Development at Georgetown College. So if it's okay, what I'd like to do is to kind of to ask you some questions and let you respond to that, and then we'll have time of question and answer from the congregation. That's okay. Great. If you don't mind, just tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about the campus on which you work.
Okay, can everyone hear me? All right, good. Well, I'm at the University of Kentucky, and you guys, because you're here in Lexington, probably know a lot about UK already, but it's a large land-grant state institution. About 28,000 is the enrollment, and that's increased over the past few years, and that's a big push at UK right now, along with several other initiatives they have, is to increase enrollment. And so when I started at UK in 2002, I think the enrollment was a little closer between 24 and 25,000. So it's really jumped up over the last few years. We have just my own background. I'm a psychologist, and so I serve as a kind of a therapist to students, but I'm also kind of an administrator as well. So I see a few different perspectives on students. But most of my view of students comes from the large state institution. So I'm happy to have a couple of colleagues here from smaller private schools as well, because I don't have that perspective as much. My own, I have kind of a generational perspective as well. I went to college myself in the 80s, and then I started counseling students in the early 90s at Mississippi State University, and then I counseled students in the mid-90s at Indiana University, and then the end of the 90s, and before I came to UK, I was at Purdue University. So I was at all these larger state institutions and kind of have some perspective on how students have changed over time, at least in the time I've been working with them. So that's a little bit about me.
Great. My name is Michael Covert. I am the Associate Dean of Students at Transylvania, and for those of you may know, because it's a half mile from here, about 1,100 students, primarily residential. We draw about 80, 85% of our students are from the state of Kentucky. Students who are from out of state tend to come from the contiguous states, so Ohio, Indiana, Tennessee, West Virginia, the ones close to us. We're about 1,100. We're looking to grow a little bit. My own background, I've been at Transylvania for 14 years. I'm actually a graduate of Transylvania, also worked at Indiana University and Washington University in St. Louis. My background is in residence life, working with those students that live on campus in the residence halls. Did that. I've also worked in financial aid in the dean's office. And my role primarily now in the dean of students' office is working with student retention and how can we help students make connections, how do we help them make that adjustment from high school to college, and what are the issues that they're dealing with, and how do we make that transition smooth, and how has that changed over the years. And we're excited to be here and happy to answer any questions.
Hi, my name is Jessie Hines Barley. I just got married a month ago, so I'm still getting used to a new last name, so just bear with me as I learn that myself. HK said, I'm here from Georgetown College. I'm the area coordinator for leadership development. So that basically means I have a dual role at the institution. I live on campus and serve as an area coordinator in residence life, so I supervise our apartment complex over at Georgetown. And then I also have a dual role in leadership programming, so I'm in charge of our leadership programming on campus. Georgetown is also a very small institution. We have about 1,200, 1,300 students, primarily residential as well. We're a faith-based institution, and we just have a wide variety of students. The majority are from Kentucky, but we're also having a large push for more out-of-state students and more international students as well. So we're starting to see the face of Georgetown somewhat shift. And a little bit about me, I'm a Georgetown alum as well. I graduated in 2009, and so while I was there, I was able to just get involved in a variety of different things. And then I went on to pursue my master's at Baylor University and just completed that in May. So I'm very new here as a professional. I just started in July. So I've just been here for about 6 months.
All right, thank you. What are some things that make your campus unique? Okay.
I can go ahead and start talking about UK. UK is what they call a flagship institution, so it's the place that a lot of people in the state of Kentucky look to as the university that contributes a lot to agriculture, medicine, industry, et cetera. A lot of the things that that have been a focus lately are, you guys have probably heard about the push to be a top 20 institution, and so that's a big thing at UK right now. Along with that, I mentioned that they're increasing the enrollment, but there's also a push along with those rankings. You want to look at retention rates, which you've talked about, and also graduation rates, and increasing the academic qualities of students coming in. So they're improving that. So there's a lot of different pushes at UK. I think, though, if you look around the state to see what people really know about UK, the main thing people know about is that we have good basketball. And so I think that that's a lot of what people talk about when they talk about UK. But there are a lot of great things about UK and a lot to offer, and we can talk more about that as we go along.
One of the things that makes Georgetown unique, it's definitely not something that's unique for other small institutions, but for our state, is that we are primarily residential, so all of the students are living within a very small proximity to one another, and that creates a lot of really great opportunities, and then it also allows us to form those relationships, and we can kind of see where they are on a whole lot of different spectrums. And so one thing, when we actually look at our student population, I think that Georgetown is unique because you see a lot of different types of students. You see students who have never left the state and who are just here because it's close to home. And then you also have students who are as far away from Chile who are here throughout their Christmas break. You have students who are here who really want to pursue medicine, and then you have students who they have no idea what they want to pursue. So I think you just see a lot of different unique personalities and unique stories. Again, because we're residential, we're all right there. And so you really get to form those deep relationships with professors, with staff members, and with each other as well.
I would say Transylvania, much like Georgetown, a small college where class sizes are small. You get to know the professors, you get to know the students, and lots of support mechanisms to help those students be successful. One of the things about Transylvania and many other small colleges is we're a liberal arts college, which means we really emphasize thinking critically. How do you think and analyze, and how do you prepare for the world of work outside of Transylvania? We do have top majors would be, we have lots of pre-law, pre-health professions, but we feel like giving the students the ability to think critically about an issue regardless of their major, so they take classes in a lot of different areas, be able to think critically about the world will help prepare them for life after college.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, I kind of went through the little mindset list of some of the college students, what that's like, and I know that we can't just generalize and say all college students are like this, because they're all different individuals coming from lots of different backgrounds. But in your situation, what are some of the characteristics that you see in today's college students on your campus?
One of the things that really within the past several years is just how connected most, not all, but many are connected to their parents. And that's significantly different than it was 10 years ago, certainly 5 years ago. It is not uncommon for a student to walk out of a class and instantaneously be on the phone with mom or dad or someone. And that creates a very different dynamic where when I was in school, I talked to my parents maybe once a week if they were lucky, but not near to the extent. So it is not uncommon for them to have regular contact with parents. It is not uncommon for parents to call me with issues. I would have been mortified had my mom called the dean's office with something. So I play a lot of the balancing game of trying to listen to the parent and address their concern and let them know things are okay and that I will look into it without solving the problem for the student. And so one of the things we try really hard, and all institutions do that, is trying to get the student to take that ownership and responsibility for whatever the issue is, because having mom or dad call and fix it doesn't really help the student. And we certainly want to be connected with the parents. The parents are used to, you know, this, we talk about this generation being one of the most programmed, you know, going from soccer practice to baseball to ballet to everything when they get here, and then all of a sudden it's a new experience at college. Parents expect or want that kind of interaction and relationship to continue, and that's just different. And so that's one of the education pieces we try and do with parents is, yes, you can be connected, and how can you be supportive and help your student grow and mature while you're there. And I've got lots of other things, but I'll let other panel talk about things they've seen. Maybe.
I've got a whole list, some of which you've already talked about. What we call those helicopter parents sometimes, because we get parents who, there are stories, there are rumors of parents who've gone to large lecture classes for students to take notes when the students are sick. We have parents who call us and ask them if we can wake their student up and make sure they're getting to class. We have parents.
Don't do that. If you have... We're not waking them up.
And I'm at the counseling center. I mean, that's just pretty outside of anything we would do. We're not even near the residence halls. We have parents who call us and let us know how deeply concerned they are about their student. Their student had a lot of trouble before college, and now that they're in college, they're really worried about how they're going to do. And I'm like, oh, where are you calling from? They're like, Rhode Island. You know, they've sent their kid, you know, halfway across the country to be in a very different place, and they're so concerned they want us to get right over there and check on them, but they've sent them way away. So it's kind of this mixed bag of messages from parents, and I agree it's kind of interesting. Also, you were saying something about students being highly structured before they come to college nowadays. They're really busy, they have full schedules, and then they come to college and they really don't know how to manage their time, because all of a sudden all that structure is gone unless they're with one of the athletic teams or they're involved in some smaller groups that keep them very busy. So they struggle with that a lot. We have more diversity on the college campus than we've ever had, and that's a big push within the University of Kentucky, and I know with a lot of other institutions as well. But there's still a lot of divisions on the campus. And so that's still something that's improving in a lot of ways, but also there are still problems in the university related to that. In the counseling center, and again, this is maybe a more unique perspective, but we see a lot of students who have what we call emotion regulation problems. When students are dealing with difficult feelings, they don't know what to do with that, and they want instant relief. And sometimes that instant relief comes in very destructive ways. It might be binging on alcohol. It might be purging their food. It might be engaging in risky behaviors. It might involve self-harming. So we see more of that than I saw 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And so that's another increasing thing that we see and is something that's on the radar of a lot of administrators and people working directly with the students. We have a lot of students from Kentucky as well. You guys have talked about, we have about 75% of the students at UK are from the state of Kentucky. And that has positives and also negatives. It has some negatives for the out-of-state students, actually. And we do have a lot of international students. But I know that UK is also pulling more and more students from out-of-state. But sometimes those students get to UK and find a little bit more difficult time plugging in. Because what I've seen at the large state institutions and at UK in particular is that students at UK still hang out with who they hung out with in high school sometimes. So we have Louisville students who hang out with Louisville students. We have Northern Kentucky students who hang out with Northern Kentucky students. And we have students from Lexington and other places that, you know, stick with their crowd. And so that makes it a little bit harder for outsiders to kind of break into that. And that can be difficult. And then even though we're getting students with higher and higher academic qualifications, students still struggle a lot with the transition to college. A lot of them were very bright. They didn't have to try so hard when they were in high school to make really good grades, and they didn't develop really good study habits. And so when they get to UK, it's a big shock for them. And all of a sudden, they can't just put forth a half effort and slide through and get A's and B's. And some of them really get a big surprise because they, you know, they're in difficult, demanding majors. They have aspirations to go on to professional school or graduate school, and they realize that they can't keep doing what they're doing, and it's difficult for them. Some of them are in jeopardy after the first semester of losing scholarships and things like that. And then just change is the norm nowadays for students. And it's not that students weren't doing these things 10 years ago, but students these days change their major 2, 3, 4 times. It's not uncommon at all. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. What we always tell students is we don't want you to wait until the end of your junior year or your senior year to decide what you're in, that you hate it, and now you need to change into something else and go back and take earlier lower division classes. And so students nowadays are used to a society where people change jobs fairly frequently, they move more often, they change careers. No longer is it the case that people graduate, go get on with a company, and stay with that company 20 years and get into the pension system and then retire. And that's just, it's not what happens. And so, again, that was already changing 10 years ago, but it's a good bit different now where students are just used to change even more. And so there's some of the things that I see.
And at Georgetown, we experience many of the same issues. They're college students, helicopter parents. We have, sometimes Black Hawk parents, too, that we get to the joy to experience. But when I think about Georgetown students, one of the things that I know I experienced as a student And I see continuously in students now is because of that need for structure, they come in and they instantly want to create that for themselves. So they become very overcommitted and they become very busy and they have something scheduled every single minute of the day. And sleep is something that they don't do. And then it becomes very unhealthy for them. But it's also this, I was having a conversation with a student. It's kind of this facade of an overcommitment, though. When they list out their resume, they're in about 10 different things. But if you were to really look at their time spent, they may spend really only one or two, select one or two organizations and spend quality, meaningful time in that. But yet they're busy all day. And so, no, I don't have time to sleep, or I don't have time to do my homework. I've got to do that at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I have to drink a Red Bull in order to stay up to do my homework till 2 o'clock in the morning. So we see a lot of those students who are overcommitted, but just don't know how to really effectively use their time in order to make sure that they're getting everything done. And then I also think about college students, and I think that they really want to find meaning. And so whenever they're hearing something or they're questioning something, they always want to know, why does this apply to me, or how does this apply to me? Why do I need to know this? Why do I need to learn this? And so on one way, that's really great because they're searching for something that can give them that personal passion. That then again, there's also that double-edged sword of they're always asking why, and they always want to make it apply to them. And sometimes there are just certain situations where it's just how it is. And I think college students somewhat struggle with that sometimes, and they really want to make sure that I need to know why. And there are very confusing times in life when you don't know why, and I think that's when they struggle sometimes the most.
So those of us that are parents are not doing a good job of raising our children and sending them off to college to be on their own.
You're doing a great
ready
job.
To do their things. And you know, it does seem like the parent involvement has been a big change in the last, 5, 10 years, 15. I've heard a helicopter. The other day I've heard Velcro parents, you know. And the other day I heard a colleague use the term lawnmower parent. And I don't know if that was because they're mowing it so close to their child or they're going to mow you over, you know, as you deal with your child. And that may have been just a made-up term that she might have. So something that's closely related to characteristic, but what are some of the needs of students? You know, as you think about some of the brokenness in some of their lives, some are healthy and great and sharp, and some are dysfunctional, and some, like you said, they need mom and dad to call them in the morning to get up. You know, not that that's not a need, but what are some needs that you see maybe in the students on your campus that would relate to that?
I'll go ahead and start. I've got a whole list of things, and I don't want to bore you with statistics, but I'm going to give you some statistics just from UK. So this is the UK perspective. So we know that from our freshman survey, about 75% of our students say they're successful or are very successful in meeting and making friends, but that means about 1/4 of the students have difficulty plugging in socially. And, you know, we feel like it's particularly challenging at UK because maybe different than Georgetown or Transy, where you might know most of the students on campus eventually. You know, UK's got 28,000 students, and you might go into a large lecture class that has, you know, 250, 300 students, you know, in your freshman year. And it's you have to make efforts to connect to smaller groups. And so I think that for students who are already outgoing, and that's kind of a natural tendency for them, it's, you know, they plug in just fine. But for students who are a little bit more introverted or maybe do most of their connecting online, it's hard for them to connect to the campus community. And UK is worried about that. They're making all kinds of efforts to get people connected to smaller groups so they feel an identity with a group at UK. And already mentioned time management, but over 30% of our students said that they really have difficulty managing their time. And so sometimes it's having more time, sometimes it's what Jesse was talking about, overcommitting. And so we see a lot of the student leaders on campus, and a lot of people who work at UK know who those students are, and they're tapped for a lot of committees and a lot of activities and leadership training, et cetera. And those students are stretched thin and sometimes become stressed out because they can't manage their time in that way. They have too little time. Because of the economy, and the way the economy's been going, students are having more and more financial needs, and they're concerned about how they're going to pay for their college. So over 30% of our students in their first year say they're worried about how they're going to pay for the rest of college. About one in five will struggle with finances significantly during their first year. About one in four will have a significant breakup. And so we know that a lot of students come into the counseling center after they've had a breakup, and it seems like it's often the case that maybe they've come from another town. They had a girlfriend or boyfriend back home. They were communicating with that person a lot and not getting plugged into social activities. And then, of course, when all the papers are due and the tests are happening, that's when the breakup happens, and they're also not connected socially on campus. And so that's a difficult thing for some students. Approximately one in three will struggle with some significant anxiety and stress in their first year. About one in five will struggle with a down period or depression during their first year. And just from our own services that we have people fill out paperwork when they come into the counseling center, we have 14 full-time doctoral-level psychologists, and we stay packed because we have a lot of students who have a lot of psychological needs, and they're utilizing the services. And so that's something that's increased in demand quite a bit over the last few years. And we've increased staff, but we're not increasing at the speed that the student demand is increasing. So just from our own services, about 25% of the students that come into our center have already had previous counseling prior to college. About 20% said they had seriously considered suicide. About 6% had made a suicide attempt. And again, those are people who've come in for counseling, so that's not the general student body, but we're seeing this kind of student in my office. About 17% experience unwanted sexual contact, so we've had more people who come in with some kind of rape trauma or some kind of incident prior, and it could be in childhood, but it could be in high school or whatever. And then while they're on college, they report about 37% report binge drinking occasionally. About a quarter of them say they don't have good family support. A little less than 20% say they know someone who has committed suicide. Again, financial concerns are a big thing. Over half the students who come into our office say that their faith or their religious connection is very important to them. So, and a lot of the students that come in, you know, talk about their faith, and some even, at least in the counseling service, will sometimes question whether they should be coming into counseling because they feel like it's a weakness of their faith. And so they'll say, you know, maybe I'm not praying enough, or I'm not right in some way, so that they struggle with coming in to get help sometimes. Anyhow, the top concerns that people report coming into our office are anxiety, stress, depression, academic problems, and relationship issues. Those are the things that we see a lot of students struggling with.
Same exact needs. We're seeing a lot more students dealing with mental health issues, like you said, coming in with those issues, and so we're trying to build those relationships with those students and figure out what kind of baggage they're bringing in through this really difficult transition their first year of college. Academic issues, Georgetown has a very rigorous first year program. There's a class called Foundations that if you ask a Georgetown first year, they may have a strong opinion about it. It's a very rigorous course, and so because of that, it does cause a lot of anxiety and stress on the student. It's their first semester, and they're just worried about their grades, so we're seeing a lot of that as well. And then also, a disadvantage to being a small school is that you do know everyone, and so there's this social status, and there's a need for social connection, and sometimes it can get very cliquish with our students, and it's good because they form those really tight social circles, but then also they can stay in those really tight social circles, and it's a struggle sometimes to get outside of those, and maybe some are left out, and they really need that social connection, and it's just not available to them, and so we see some of those students who are kind of out on the fringe who really need that as well. And again, being a private institution, which I'm sure you could speak to that as well, finances are tough. We're seeing a lot of students who struggle from semester to semester to figure out how they're going to pay their bill, and especially in this economy as well.
And I would, all the things that we've said, I think that's fairly universal across college students. I would echo that more and more students are working 20, 30, 40 hours a week while doing class, and so that creates all kinds of challenges when they're working and they don't have time to meet in study groups or group projects or just to sit and do homework. Lots more students dealing with psychological issues that we didn't see a number of years ago. I would say, and I haven't figured out the answer for this, but very few students know how to study, and we said this earlier. Because in high school, you go every day, the teacher is there explaining the material, the very good students may never study at night, or if they do, it's just cracking a book. So many, many students have that trouble that first semester because they've never had to really study it and be expected to know material that they read outside of class that the instructor may not mention in class. They expect you to come in and know that. And so that students who have been successful, that's a tough thing because they're used to just kind of going with it and not having to put a lot of effort, and then all of a sudden they do need to do that. The other thing I would say is students today, not only we were talking about quest for meaning and trying to make sense of it all, but I think students, I would put them into one of two categories. They either know exactly where they're going, I want to be in this law firm, or I'm going to practice medicine, and here's the specialty I'm going to go to, and then sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't, and that creates stress. Or their goal has been to get into college, and then they have no idea what they want to do. And one of the things students struggle with is, okay, now what? I've gotten into the college that first semester, that first year. They'll tell me what classes I need to take because there's some general education requirements. But it's after that first year, it's like, okay, now what do I do? And so students, particularly that sophomore year, they call it the sophomore slump, but that really lost searching because they haven't thought about where am I going. And that's when their friends start to figure out, oh, I know I'm going to be an anthropology major or an English major or biology, whatever it is. And so that sophomore year, I think, is what we're seeing a lot of students now, because their goal was to get to college, they got into college, but now what? And so we're trying, I think all institutions are starting to figure out what are support mechanisms we can do for that student after they've been here for a little while to help them figure out what's next.
Well, let me change to a spiritual question now. I've read several places that college students today are spiritual, but they're not religious. They classify themselves as they think about God, the spiritual life, spirituality is important, but they don't like formal religion, they don't like denominationalism, they don't like the church stuff. What role, if any, do you see faith playing in the lives of students today, and how has that played out?
I'll be brave.
Let's ask the Baptist college first.
Well, maybe HK can help me. One thing that I forgot to somewhat mention that's so unique about our institution currently is that right now, I think as an institution, we're still trying to figure out our Christian identity. And HK, you can correct me on this if I speak out of turn. But right now, that's what a lot of the dialogue is about, and we're trying to figure out, okay, we're Christian, what does that mean? What does that look like for our institution? And so I think that puts us right now at a really exciting spot because, you know, we're figuring that out, and it's really great. But at the same time, I think that kind of creates, like I said earlier, a spectrum of students. I would classify our students into three different categories. One is that we have those students who come in who are very committed to their faith, who want to grow, who want to learn, and they find ways to do that. They get connected into a local church. They get connected into campus ministries, campus outreach, and they follow after that. And that's really a big part of their education and their educational experience. Then there's that other set where they come in and it may be somewhat important to them, but it's not really something that they're actively trying to pursue right now. It may just be something that, yeah, I go to church back at home, and that's really the extent of the amount of time that they spend dwelling or thinking on that. And then we have another set of students who really come in who have zero religious beliefs and aren't really interested in pursuing it at all beyond the two classes in our liberal arts curriculum that we ask them to take in Christian identity or Christian heritage or Old Testament, New Testament, whichever classes they want to take. And so those students may have no desire to go beyond that, to ever search, to ever get plugged into a local church. And so we see a lot of different students falling between that system, and one may drop from one level to the next or go from one to the other. And so we have a wide range of students who are pursuing their beliefs even on a Christian campus. And so I think that's a great opportunity for us, but also a challenge, because you may see a student, and just because they're at Georgetown, that doesn't mean that their faith is a huge part and a huge component of their life. So you really have to dig deep into that student's life to figure out where they are and where they are on that that path, and figure out how you can help them along in that journey together.
I think those are three very good categories, and I think Transylvania students would fall very similar into those. You know, the question about organized religion versus faith, and we've seen some of the campus organizations really explode in growth in the past couple of years. Campus Crusade for Christ is one on our campus, so students are very involved in that, and there's a lot of late night programming that they'll do with that. But I don't think those students are necessarily the same ones that would go to a Sunday morning church service. They like doing that in with a group of friends, and they have prayer and Bible study and sing. But it's not coming to, it's in there, it's in one of our residence halls or the cafeteria, but it's not going out on Sunday morning or Saturday evening. I think the other thing I think we've seen, or at least Transylvania, really with students is really tied to service. So if there's a service kind of project that may be sponsored by a faith-based organization or a church, that acting out of faith as a way of doing it, we've seen more students do that recently. The other thing I think students do, and you alluded to this, is I have my faith that I grew up with, and what happens when I get to college, and how do I question that, and is it okay to question that, and do I shut everything down and not listen to other points of view, or what we hope is that you think about it and you become stronger in your belief and you solidify the things. But a lot of students struggle with, well, how is it okay to think about it, how might I think about it, and so that's a struggle, and that's an area where I think that's an opportunity.
I think I can echo a lot of the things these guys are talking about. You know, the students that we see in the counseling center and just that I interact with in other roles on campus, most of them profess to be Christian. But I think one of the things you were mentioning, that you do hear more students talk about being spiritual versus religious. You hear more students not endorsing a particular denomination. But a lot of students still talk about how their faith is very important to them, and they're very active on campus. We have, at UK, we have over 400 student organizations, but there are a lot of different faith-based organizations on campus for students to plug into, and those are very active. A lot of them are very growing and are increasing in size and dynamic and growing and doing a lot of positive things on campus, and so they have a presence. And students are drawn to those. And like you said, I'm not sure it's the same group that's always looking at going to traditional church services on Sunday morning, et cetera. A lot of them will talk about going to different I don't know exactly how to describe them, but they're outreach ministries where they meet on Saturday nights and Friday nights, and a lot of it's less... Of a traditional message, but a lot of praise and worship and music, and so a lot of students are drawn to that kind of non-traditional service, and also the community service aspect. We have a lot of students on campus who are used to doing that in high school. That's a big push these days, and students want that on their portfolio, but they also have that connected to their faith and what they should be doing to live out their faith.
Well, one, thank you for coming tonight, and thank you for all your information. This is our second Faith Forward Community Forum that we've had, and Bob mentioned. And so a real important question that I want to ask you, and it's a question that we're asking folks that we bring in from the community. If you had a group to come alongside of you to help, what would that look like for your campus, for your area on the campus, as we as a church try to figure out what is God calling us to do and what kind of partners is God calling us to partner with? If you had that help that you always want to come alongside you, what would that look like?
I can speak to a couple of things. One of the things that I hear from students a lot, and again, in the counseling center, so it's a subsection of the overall student body, but I hear it around campus as well. A lot of students will come in and say, if you're not over 21 or you don't drink, there aren't a lot of social options. And so I hear that a lot from students. Now, I know for a fact that UK has all kinds of activities going on in the evenings and on the weekends for students to plug into, but for some reason some of those don't seem appealing to the students. And so their perception is that a lot of students are going out and drinking and partying, et cetera. But we have statistics that about a third of our students don't drink at all, and that there are a lot of students who aren't binge drinking regularly. And so there have got to be other ways for students to plug in. So I think one way that you guys could engage students is to somehow provide social opportunities that would appeal to a wide audience at the university. I don't know what those would look like, but I think students need to know and be constantly reminded that not everybody is drinking and partying, and that there are other ways to engage in community activities and get involved socially that aren't, you know, tied into that. We mentioned the community service projects, and I don't know what you guys have going on as a church, but I think that anything that you provide where students can get plugged into community service. And we at UK, we have the Center for Community Outreach. And so I would encourage you, if you have a habitat build going on, or if you have some other kind of ways that students can plug in, that you register with the Center for Community Outreach, because students go to that center to figure out where to go in the community to do community service. And so they can go and find out about things that you have to offer through that. And so I think the more community service opportunities, the better, and students are interested in that. And then we have these students who have more difficulty plugging in at UK, and one of the groups that we focus a lot on are first-generation college students, students who didn't have parents or grandparents who went to college. And so they're at a disadvantage. They don't get some of the mentoring, and they don't know some of the things that a lot of college students know coming into the university. And international students struggle when they come here. Students from out of state struggle to plug in socially. I mentioned that before. And students from Appalachia, students from Eastern Kentucky, often come here and struggle academically and struggle to fit in culturally. And we're not that far away from Eastern Kentucky, but students will tell you when they get on campus, I don't feel like I fit in here. And so I don't know how your church can connect with those students, but I was thinking just in terms of the first generation students and the Appalachian students, I mean, maybe you can connect with other perhaps Baptist churches in those communities in Eastern Kentucky and say, hey, when you have students who come here, we want to be a second home for them. We want to provide meals for them. We want to connect them up with families and other social events where they feel welcomed. And maybe you're already doing some of that kind of stuff, but I think that would be a good way to engage, at least for those Eastern Kentucky students. It's something to think about. And then just offer programming also targeted at graduate and professional students, because a lot of those students come here to come to UK, and they're not as plugged into social stuff. When you come to UK, we have the Student Center Spectacular. We have all of the what we call K-Week activities for students to get oriented to campus and to meet other freshmen. And most of that stuff is geared towards first-year undergraduate students. And the graduate school does have, like, some barbecues and some other things to kind of get graduate students to know other graduate students. We have the dental school. We have the pharmacy school. We have the medical school. We have PA student, physician's assistant students. We have a lot of professional programs and graduate programs where a student might come into a program and be one of two graduate students under a professor, or they might be in a department that doesn't have a large cohort of graduate students, and they find it difficult to plug in socially, and so you can offer things geared towards them as well. So if you're going to come alongside and help help engage students, those are some ways that I can think of.
I think that graduate student is an excellent suggestion. I teach in the College of Education in the graduate department at UK, and we spend, both at Transylvania and UK and Georgetown, we spend so much time with that first-year student and then the undergraduate, but I can speak just from even in the College of Education at UK, the graduate students are kind of left on their own, and many have moved here, and they're new, and we have many of the support mechanisms for them as undergraduates, but as a graduate, you're old, you figure it out on your own. And so that, I think, is a wonderful opportunity to market involvement for students. I think, you know, if you were going to come alongside Transylvania, we talk about the Transy bubble. that were residential, were small, and how do we get students outside of that? So those social opportunities, you know, evening, Friday, Saturday, opportunities to do things, ways for students to get involved in the community, community service, ways to make connections with small groups, I think is very important. And I think our students want that. And sometimes, because Transylvania is small, they want, and sometimes it is a self-selection to stay within that bubble. There are, many are also yearning for, I want to do something outside of Transylvania, but I don't know where to do that. I have all my friends. I have what often becomes the clique here. I have these interests, but I just want to get away from that. I don't, you know, I like Lexington. There's things to do in Lexington, but where might I get plugged in with that? And so I think that would be an opportunity to help students.
Agree with all of those. And I think one disadvantage that Georgetown has is that we are, you know, a little bit further away compared to Transy or UK. But I think that what's really great is that students, they're wanting to leave the Georgetown bubble. So they're in Lexington all the time. So they will connect with you when they're here. But I think that when I try to envision a group that wants to come alongside our staff and really try to engage with our students, it really needs to be for more of the long-term mentorship programming. Because our students are overcommitted and they are, you know, their schedules are packed full. If you were to offer a one-time program, I think that it would be difficult for Georgetown students to kind of separate themselves and really kind of step outside their comfort zone to attend that. But, you know, I can think of it, for example, Robin, I'm going to call you out. Robin has been there for the long term, mentoring women, being there, and just because of her presence, it's not a huge thing. It's not like there's posters all over the campus, but people are drawn because they want to have some leadership, and so they just want to connect with someone who's outside of this Georgetown community that they see day in and day out. So they just want someone who's there for the long term, who's just there to invest in them. And so I'll just put out a plea to the men. I think that that's something that the men on our campus are really needing. They're needing some leadership. They're needing some mentorship. And so I think that for our students and what we need something for the long term, and we need something a little bit low-key, personal, that mentorship and walk alongside of them.
Yeah, I have a couple of other thoughts, too. One, we have international students often say that they want more interaction with Americans. We have a large group of international students at UK, but what tends to happen sometimes, I mentioned that the diversity is increasing, but there's still divisions. And one of the things we see is, like, for instance, we have a lot of Chinese students on campus. The Chinese students tend to hang out with other Chinese students. And we have a thing that we do, we'll do this Friday, called Living in the USA. And so I often go to that, and I'll meet with international students right after they get off the plane, basically, and they just arrive. They don't know anything about American culture. They have lots of questions. We kind of give them scenarios and talk about some ways they might perceive something differently, or this might be how things go here in the U.S. But they're craving interaction with people in the community and to know people who are from here. And so that's another place to engage. There was another one. I'm forgetting it, so that's all right.
Yeah. That's okay. We're very fortunate to have students from each of these campuses involved with the College of Ministry. And Felito, I want to thank you for coming tonight, but also for UK being so welcoming to reach out to the religious organizations on campus when I was there, to reach out to allow churches to come onto the campus to help with move-in day and to build those relationships rather than being the large, cold university that says, no, we can't come on our campus. And Michael, thank you. For the students that come here from Transylvania, they're just top-notch leaders, and we recognize that. And Jesse, thank you for coming tonight and coming all that way from Georgetown College. But also the work that you do with the men and women at Georgetown, I personally appreciate that, and as a personal note. Would you come and share just a few moments about what's going on in the college ministry and what you do?
Do you want to give them asking more questions?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Don't leave yet.
Yeah, go back.
Almost. Yeah.
No, I was looking at time a little bit. Do you have any questions for any of these folks that have come here tonight? Thank you, Robin. I appreciate it. Yeah.
What was your name?
Tanya.
Tanya asked if we have a center for outreach. This may not be on. I'm loud.
Keep talking.
Good? Okay. Currently at Georgetown, we don't have that. It's kind of split up amongst a lot of different professors and faculty members, but one of the things that our quality enhancement plan for this upcoming next couple of years at Georgetown is to really work on our community service and civic engagement. And so I think that's something that you'll start to see kind of boom at Georgetown, but currently we don't have any structure for it.
It's kind of folded into other things.
And Transylvania does not have a community service outreach center, but we have a person who's responsible for that, and I can get you that contact information. We have one staff member who's responsible for coordinating all interaction with the community and setting up service projects and working with the churches and agencies in the area.
I'm thinking elementary schools.
Oh, Jessie will be in charge of that when she gets back.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Jimbo?
The stealth bomber is the one you got to worry about. Those are the ones I worry about. But bam. Go to UK. I would say that the first advice I'd have for anybody, you know, you're going to have two children in college, but for anyone considering college, get your taxes done as soon as you can, because the FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid, the federal government will not tell you what aid you're eligible for officially until you've done your taxes. And so what happens is some families say, I'm going to do it in February or March, I'm going to get done. Two reasons that's bad. One is the sooner you know what aid you're going to get, that is helpful in making a decision. But there's also state money that runs out. And you want to get on the front end of that as opposed to the back end of that. So the sooner that you can get your taxes filed, get that back, you can fill the FAFSA out. The FAFSA then tells you what aid you're eligible for. I have other thoughts, but I'll let.
You know, I don't have a lot of things to address regarding tuition increases. I see Jay just walked in here. He's from PR at UK. He could probably speak to this better than me, but I know that it's always a goal. I mean, and I can speak more to the previous president, but he's often put out there as a goal that we want to keep tuition increases under 10%, but even a 9% increase in tuition is a higher percentage than people are getting pay increases and cost of living increase, et cetera. So we know that it's a burden on students, and like Michael said, we see more and more students who are going out and working families who are not able to contribute as much to paying the tuition. And so it's definitely a struggle for students. But I don't have a quick answer for it. I know that UK is concerned about it. But there's no easy answer because there's only so much money that comes in from the state to help run the university, and UK is trying to bring in more money with research grants and private giving and et cetera, but it only goes so far, so tuition keeps increasing.
Yeah, and just real quick, this is it's a problem for all of us and all of higher education. We're all experiencing that. But I know that there are certain... For example, at Georgetown, we have a program called George Cares, and that is specifically for students who are in dire consequences or something happens, and that is money that's set aside to really help them if they're in a certain, you know, bind or something happens to a parent. And so that's kind of set aside for them. But as far as the increases, you know, I just finished with my education, so I'm looking at my bills that are coming in, and I'm feeling it too. So even us who are working in it, it's frustrating, I think, on all accounts.
As Michael said, I think the early FAFSA is key. The state money, I know every year we have students that qualify, they don't get any money because the money's run out. And people don't...
Yeah.
Jay, do you want... No, Jay has no comment. Yes, ma'am.
Since students fall in the
That's a very interesting question. The question is, do you need to only provide late night opportunities for students, or are you going to miss them? You know, I could say for Transylvania students, they would prefer, many would prefer to sleep in on Sunday morning. One of our most popular programs that we have is Campus Crusade for Christ does a midnight pancake breakfast in one of the residence halls. And Transylvania's 1,100 students, we'll have 150, 200 students that'll go to that. And so that late night thing they enjoy. You know, if there's a Friday night program or a Saturday night service, you know, the praise worship that they're able to do, that I think is attractive. I think there will always be students, particularly because they grew up in that faith, they like going to church on Sunday morning. That is an important part of who they are, and they'll continue to do that. But more and more we're seeing students who like the Friday service or the Saturday night or the late night opportunity to express my faith, but not in a traditional service on Sunday morning.
Yes, ma'am.
The question is, you hear about students who are in such dire straits with finances that they have to go to food banks. And occasionally we'll have a student who is really struggling even to get food. But that's, and again, I'm in the counseling center, so we see students who are pretty distressed, and that's still pretty rare that we see students who are really struggling to get the basic necessities, but it does happen occasionally. And kind of like you were talking about, there are some emergency funds that are available. We usually try to plug those students into community resources where they can either get shelter or food or whatever it is that they need to get by.
I don't want to limit our questions, but you may want to talk with them after we're done. I do want to give some time for Robin before time's over to come and share kind of what's going on at Calvary. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have our last Faith Forward community luncheon. And you're going to be asked to dream as to what you want Calvary to look like in the next 10 years, 15 years. So I hope you'll take some of what you heard tonight, pray about that, listen to what Robin's doing today, and then see, is there more that we can be doing? What might that look like? And if there's more that we can do, how can you be a part of that? And not just dump it on our staff, but how then can you answer that call of Christ to serve the college students in our college community?
When I was a college student, I started off my first 2 years at Transylvania University. Woo-hoo. Then changed my major. I didn't know what I was going to do. Changed my major. I went to a Baptist school for a year, University of the Cumberlands, and then I went to pharmacy school and graduated from pharmacy school at UK. So I went to three very different schools, and now I have contact with students on three very different campuses, and you know they're very different in different ways that I'm able to do things. But we have wonderful, wonderful students from all three campuses, and we are so blessed, and I'm so thankful for our panel and what a wonderful job that. And the difference they make in the lives of college students. And I'm so thankful for each of you that we are so blessed as a church to have a love and a passion for college ministry. And we have so many things going on. And I could stand up here and talk for a long time, but I instead of doing that, I made a list of some of the things that we have going on. And I have yellow sheets at the back of the room. I knew we would probably run out of time, and I wanted our panel to be able to share more than me. Before you leave, if you'll grab one of these, I'd love for you to kind of look to see some of the things we have going on. Weekly, we have our worship service that is for college students and focuses on college students. And we have a lunch weekly for our fellowship to try to get to connect students as they're away from home. And so many of you serve and help do those things. We do outreach through delivering cookies every week to students and at Transy and Georgetown and UK. One thing you may not know is that I do a Bible study on campus every week at Georgetown. I've done that for about 8 years. Ooh, that's a long time. I've been here for a while. And Jesse was in my Bible study. I was blessed to have students like Jesse to know year after year after year. And that's been a wonderful connection to our Georgetown campus. And I've been so thankful that the Georgetown College allows me to do that in the library and able to do that. Also, another thing you may not know about a college ministry is that we are a UK organization. We are Calvary Campus Ministries. And we are part of the campus, as you mentioned, at the Campus Outreach Center. We have official status. We could use a room on campus. That is why one of the things our students are focusing on right now is Dance Blue. We have a Dance Blue team coming up, the marathon. Maybe you've heard us talk about that last year. But we have support for pediatric oncology patients and our students. And it's a great way for us to have a presence on UK's campus and to connect with different students and have visibility. But we have a lot going on, our Bible study options. We have a great ministry on Wednesday night with Bible study. And if you're looking to plug in, we can always use you to mentor students and to invest in students. We have a lot of ways for students to serve. You know, I want us to think tonight, because at midnight, our college students are getting back from Haiti. We have over 20 students that are flying back, and they should be here. One of our Transy girls skipped 3 days of classes to go to Haiti. So I don't know if she'll get in trouble or not, but they started on Monday, and she missed 3 days. So, but many of our students have missed class at UK today to go to Haiti. But we have a lot of ways. Our students have a ministry they do on their own every week, an apartment complex ministry they do weekly, and it's student-led. They go and mentor children. We have so many things going on. And he was talking about college students needing parties. Where else would they want to go but here? This weekend, I have two parties. We have a welcome back party on Friday, and my custom Miss America party is Saturday night. Bring your crown and come have fun with us on Saturday night. But we do a lot of good things, I think, here in college ministry. But as they have talked about, and as we begin to dream and think about, God has so much more that we can do. And the resources and the wonderful just opportunities of where God has placed our church. We have so many more opportunities to make a difference with college students. And I hope, as HK said, as we begin to continue to dream of what God is calling us to do, that college ministry would be an important part of that. So I want to, again, thank our panel, and I would just like to close us with a word of prayer. Pray with me, please. Gracious God, we give thanks for your presence tonight. God, we give thanks for the opportunities to reach out and to serve as a church. And God, that we would be faithful in listening to your voice and be faithful in reaching out. God, we give thanks for those that have shared with us tonight and the difference that they make day by day in the trenches of working with college students and investing in them and making a difference in their lives. God, help us that we would continue to seek new opportunities to be your hands and your feet among a hurting world. God, we love you and praise you and give thanks for all the opportunities you've given us. And we ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen.